RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
The eye care revolution is here. Time for the Wizard of Eyes. Here's Dr. Robert Abel Jr.
Every week I like to have one session on Ask the Wizard, where I look at articles that have come out recently or case reports and share them because they may have some great interest for you, your family members, or even convey some hope for the future. For instance, can you imagine an eye scan may detect early signs of Alzheimer's? Well, May the 5th at the annual ARVO, that's Research in Vision and Ophthalmology meeting, this was presented as a potential detection sign for Alzheimer's. The eye has always been considered the window to the soul, the window to the brain, and the window to the body. Well, with early detection, a person could seek treatment for Alzheimer's at a time when therapy or even vitamin therapy would be most effective at slowing the progression of the memory-robbing disease. So this was presented most recently and was a combination of something that has been around for a while. And that something is the OCT, which is optical coherence tomography. And using a laser light instead of radiation or magnetic, a laser light takes a picture of the retina. And using a combination of that with a fluorescence injection, it lights up abnormal proteins. Well, we know that Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia, and it's probably epidemic because of so many people getting it. Approximately more than 5 million Americans live with the disease now, and countless numbers are probably incubating it. And the number is projected to rise to 14 million, according to the CDC. Well, there's no cure because there's no way to really measure it. There's not really a benchmark. Yes, we have PET scans. PET scans can show the distortions and the accumulation of beta amyloid and tau proteins, which is basically an accumulation of misfolded proteins. So they're not doing the job and they're jumbling up the network of nerves in the brain. So researchers have combined the OCT and the injection of a fluorescent dye in order to get a great picture of the patient's retina. Because, as you may know, the retina is the forepart of the brain. And what is in the brain is often in the retina. Just like what's good for the brain is also good for the eye. So the important thing is they were able to recreate this and find these cellular aggregations in the retina that correlated with PET scans. Now, a PET scan is expensive, requires intravenous therapy, and takes a lot of time, as you can imagine. Well, if you imagine that the OCT image takes about 2 minutes to do, and you get immediate results, and it will be a benchmark for therapies, which might be vitamin, might be physical lifestyle, or maybe medications. And that finally, we'll be able to have something we can hang our hat on to start treating it, or to know the early stages can be avoided from progression. Well, vision, of course, is my thing. And gene therapy and vision are very frequent companions. There's a discovery of a vitamin's role in vision, which helped pave the way for all of these advances. I mean, it was like 70 years ago that Wald described vitamin A, and we had our first insight into vision. Well, that was years ago. But with the decoding of the human genome, we've been able to determine how vision is affected by disease. For instance, in the past 30 years, researchers have identified more than 400 genes that cause eye disease. One of the interesting things about the eye is you can look into it. So you can actually follow a disease while watching the gene as well. And we may be able to affect those inherited eye disorders, which may or may not be affected by our lifestyle or may just be affected by our genetic heritage. So identifying the gene for something like Leber's congenital amaurosis was one of the first steps in doing something about the problem. And so researchers hijacked a virus. Well, you know, a virus like flu or cold takes over the cell's machinery to do their own deeds, to reproduce their own genetic material and make more viruses. So they took a virus and sort of decoded all of the negative things and put in the gene they wanted, which is RPE65, and started with dogs and found that dogs that had this blinding disease, when intravitrally placed in the eye or intravenously allowed to circulate, got their vision back. And then they realized, well, if it helps dogs see, why not convert this research to humans? So they transferring the gene, it can change the vision in children and young adults. Later in life with scarring, it is impossible to do the same thing. Well, other things can affect our vision. They're sending tiny robots into the body to collect foreign bodies or to do research, almost like that movie of 12 or 15 years ago where you went through the entire body and saw the circulation, the liver, the kidneys, etc. Well, this little slice of silicone is able to transmit information and could transmit information about deeper structures in both the eye and the brain if it's able to circulate and not be inflammatory. And so that you would have a different, so to speak, eye on a problem and understand that the same robotics can provide insight into vision. And the same robotics could actually carry a gene. So for instance, you wouldn't have to inject something into someone's eye or give them IVs and hope that it's going to circulate and land in the eye and stick and change the retina. You could actually send the robotic device up and through a magnet send it into the retina and make the appropriate change. And if it doesn't occlude a vessel or if it self-decomposes, that's even better. It'll go away. So, I mean, the sky is sort of the limit for some of these things. Well, vision, of course, as I've always said, trumps hearing because there's 100 times as many fibers come from the eye as go to from the ear to the brain. So there's 100 times as many fibers from the eyeball to the brain as from the ear. Well, they found in a study in trying to get people to stop smoking, just to put writing on a pack of cigarettes or on a pamphlet is very ineffective to have a long-term result. So a group decided in JAMA, internal medicine, that if you put a picture of stopping smoking and some of the risks of smoking onto your cigarette package or onto a brochure that could be sent to people who want to try and stop smoking, a tremendous improvement in the result. So for instance, 34% of people stopped, and that's amazing. No, I don't smoke. I just talk a lot, but you've gathered that by now. And so we have all kinds of things with virtual medicine and virtual reality. We have ways of looking at things differently, but we still have to look in the eye and see retinal diseases and vitreous detachments and wonder why people are light sensitive. There's still systemic things that amount to problems. We still have to do things in our lifestyle, our diet, and our nutrition. And that's one of the reasons I made iComplexCS.com. And you can get it by going to iComplexCS.com. I'm Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes, on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, please visit my website or show page at RadioMD.com. Thanks for listening. Stay well. And see you next time.